So, Shai, 2 years ago, the Painted Bride Art Center in Old City said it was going to sell its building to a developer who wanted to build...
Let me guess. Condos.
How'd you guess? Yeah, of
course. I'm just clairvoyant,
I guess. Of course. And that meant potentially destroying the bride's iconic mosaic facade created by artist Isaiah Zagar.
Yeah, and for a city known for championing art on the fringes... The news that the bride was shopping its building came as kind of a shock to everybody.
It really did. But a surprising court ruling could change the direction of the bride's future. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Today, we'll air our original episode from last January, when we asked WHYY arts reporter Peter Crimmins why the bride is looking to sell in a world where markets are often unkind to arts organizations.
And later, Peter will update us on the latest twists.
What is the Painted Bride? Can you describe it?
The Painted Bride is a space for performances and art exhibitions. They cater to the independent artist. It started on South Street. I believe it opened in 1969, back when South Street was still pretty rough and tumble place. It was a scrappy little space that brought in some pretty big name people, and they were very instrumental in bringing up South Street as a commercial corridor. And then they moved to their current space in Old City in 1982. And then once they established themselves there, they were also very instrumental in bringing up that neighborhood, which was not so hot, and now it's becoming quite hot.
And that name comes, I think, from the original location, which was apparently at one time a bridal shop?
That's my understanding, yeah. So they just adopted the former use of the building into their name, and they called themselves the Painted Bride. Mm-hmm.
And so what kinds of performances happen at the Painted Bride?
Very notably, they brought in Spalding Gray, who was a solo performer, a monologuous. Now, two movies have been made since then of his work.
I got her eyes and mesmerized. And as I was staring at her face, I saw that it was slowly decomposing and drooling.
He was nobody when the Painted Bride booked him, and they kept booking him. They said, let's bring this guy down from New York and let's bring him in. He developed his career in part at the Painted Bride. And more recently, they still do this, like Hannibal Lacombe, who's a trumpet player. He was invited to be the composer in residence for the Philadelphia Orchestra. So he's making a major orchestral work. And while doing that, he takes time out to play a little gig at the Painted Bride across town for like 150 people, 200 people. One of the original board members, this guy named Rick Snyderman.
And I was part of the people that saw it come to Old City.
He still is seeing people there that he's surprised they come to a little spot like this when they could be playing much, much bigger places.
And so, Peter, we find ourselves in this place where the Painted Bride's presence is a little perilous. And one of the reasons that it got to this place was because the Historical Commission voted not to put it on its register of historic places, correct?
Yeah, right. The Painted Bride wants to sell the building. They have been wanting to sell the building because it's a very expensive building. There's a lot of overhead that requires, and they don't have the money to maintain this thing anymore. And there's this opposition. These other people say, no, we don't want you to sell. We think it should stay a theater space, stay a performance space.
We think that the bride is a resource. We don't want to see it disappear.
The opposition organization really is Rick Snyderman again. He is a big champion of Painted Bride, and now he's still a champion of what he sees as the mission of the bride. He's not a champion of the current leadership of the bride. He says the leadership has failed the organization, and he said in no uncertain terms he would like to see them leave. And to block or to complicate the pending sale, this opposition group applied for historical status. Because that makes it more difficult to sell to a developer.
And under what conditions would it get this historical status? Like, what's special about the building?
The look of the building, the facade of the building. It's this massive mirrored mosaic by a local artist named Isaiah Zagar.
And I began doing mosaics on a daily basis.
Who's a local artist of some renown. And it's this sort of stream of conscious sort of and fantastic in the fantasy sense,
right,
of shapes and colors and tiles, and it's one of his major works.
Yeah, I've seen and this thing. It's a very, very colorful, lots of very bright, really stands out in the
whole neighborhood. Wraps the whole building, and so they wanted to protect it based on the fact that this mosaic is by Isaiah Zagar. Was not successful. The Historical Commission said it did not find fit to give it designation. And so now it's my understanding the Painted Bride is accepting bids from people who want to buy it, from developers.
Why is the Painted Bride in this position where they're looking to leave their building?
Well, part of it is money. Laurel Radzka,
I'm the executive director of the Painted Bride Arts Center,
told me some time ago that they realized that they're just not in the financial position to do this anymore.
We would need to raise about $3 million to bring the building up to date.
And what they want to do is become what I'm calling a nomadic arts organization. That's where they still are an arts presenting company, but they no longer have a building, and they find places in the outlying neighborhoods or in the center neighborhoods of the city. And they present arts performances, their arts galleries and exhibitions and performances, whatever it is that artists want to do. They find spaces around the city and they set them up there. It lets them be more nimble.
And the opposition group, what was their argument? Why did they want the Painted Bride to stay?
The Painted Bride is a brick and mortar space. It's a physical thing that's in a neighborhood, in the Old City neighborhood, which is fast growing. It's developing more. More people are moving in. And the neighborhood needs an art space. It needs a theater, a dedicated theater space.
How many arts organizations in Philadelphia have an actual physical facility that they own? Not many.
That's why I see this as kind of an example of a story that's happening all around the city, that neighborhoods are starting to think about how they can have arts presence in the neighborhood and secure it in the neighborhood. And that's really, really hard to do.
How do market forces affect these spaces?
It's a story often told about neighborhoods that maybe on the skids, and artists move in because they're so cheap, and they put in lots and lots of sweat equity into their spaces, and they build them up, they make them more palatable. And then bars and restaurants start coming in, apartments start being built, and the neighborhood builds up to the point where the artists get priced out. And now you're starting to see a sort of a corrective to that model, where people are starting to see that arts is a neighborhood asset that should somehow be preserved. It's really tricky to do that because the market forces always favor the people who can pay more for land and for buildings, and those aren't artists. So is there a way that you can almost force a neighborhood to accept artists and maintain artists in the spaces, in the neighborhoods? There's not a clear answer to that, how you do that, but people are trying. I live in Fishtown, which is a neighborhood that was not so hot and now is becoming very hot. A lot of new bars and new restaurants are opening up on the Frankfort Avenue corridor. And some of the businesses and the neighborhoods, and even now, some of the bar owners, the restaurant owners, are saying, you know what, to make a neighborhood healthy, you need more than bars and restaurants.
Restaurants and apartment buildings are not what makes a neighborhood. There has to be this other input. And the Fringe is part of that, and the Arden is part of that, and certainly the Painted Bride is part of it also.
You need art spaces. You need services for low-income people. You need manufacturing. You need all these things to make a healthy neighborhood. It takes more than just people who want to put down $200 for dinner and drinks.
When we come back,
I think it's a unique ruling and one that kind of shook everyone.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. This year, the Painted Bride entered into a sale agreement with Groom Investments, which wanted to demolish the building and build condos. Now, a judge has blocked that agreement. I spoke to Peter recently about this move.
The judge in this orphans court was convinced that you can't sell it because the sale of the building would inevitably cause the destruction of the building, and that would destroy the artwork. And the judge was convinced that the artwork was too important to lose.
Wow.
The Painted Bride argued on a lot of points why they wanted to do this, and the judge agreed on all of them. The building is a financial hardship. The Painted Bride wants to change the way it presents art, and they needed the money from the sale to be able to launch this new chapter of the organization. And the judge said, yes, 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 I agree. That's great. But he stopped at the artwork. He's like, no, there is compelling evidence to say that this artwork is important, not just to the building, but to the city as a whole. And therefore, you can't sell.
Well, this is really interesting, and it surprised a lot of people, Peter, because the bride hasn't received a historic designation, yet the judge called the building, quote unquote, irreplaceable. So is this ruling unprecedented?
It was certainly surprising. A group that wanted to block the sale, they've been wanting to block the sale for at least 2 years now, or at least a year and a half. And they are the ones that petitioned the Historical Commission, the city's Historical Commission, to declare this an historic building, and they lost. The bride won. The bride never wanted their building to be declared historic. That would make it difficult to sell. And so with that behind them, they thought we were just going to sail through this orphans court hearing. And so it was certainly surprising. I don't know if it was unprecedented, but I think it's a unique ruling and one that kind of shook everyone.
So what's going to happen to the building now?
Well, the building needs a lot of work. There are some basic maintenance issues, which cost a lot of money. And also the mosaic, which is saving the building right now, is falling apart. It's called delaminating. It's about 50% delaminated from the surface of the building, meaning it's separating from its brick structure. Right now, there are actually black netting surrounding the building to catch pieces of this mosaic as they fall off. In some places, it's imminently dangerous. So some work has to be done to there. And when the Painted Bride was trying to sell this building, when they put it out to bid, one of the bidders was the Lantern Theater, which is a local theater company. They said, if we buy the building, we will maintain it as a theater space. We will maintain the mosaic that surrounds the building. But they weren't willing to pay a lot of money for it. They were the lowball bidder, a little more than half of what the highest bid was. And of course, the Painted Bride went with the highest bidder because they needed as much revenue as they can get out of this building. And so maybe the Lantern Theater's bid is still on the table, and maybe the Painted Bride will go in that direction, but we don't know.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for coming in and updating us.
Sure, happy to do it.
Peter Crimmins is the arts reporter for WHYY. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyako, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.